It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
And we're going to talk legal with Harvell and Collins and Samuel Morris. Welcome to Coastal Daybreak and Let's Talk Legal.
Good morning. So good to be here with you.
Yeah, good to finally see you. I hear your name announced when they talk about Harvell and Collins, a local product.
I am.
Fresh out of Emerald Isle through Croatan, ECU, and Campbell Law School.
Yes, we moved back in 2018. It's been good to be back since we've returned. I've not been here since I think you guys moved to the new location. But I remember right before that, last time I was here, it was right before coronavirus happened, and the world's changed a lot since then. But one of the things that hasn't changed is the consistency of hurricane season.
Our weather. Yeah, you should know that, growing up on Emerald Isle.
It is. Yeah. And I think that, for some of us, in the last year or two, we've seen a lot of transplants into North Carolina for various reasons. I've heard of that, given, certain states with restrictions and whatnot, some folks have decided to move to the East Coast in North Carolina with our beautiful beaches and our strong economies and whatnot, I think have been kind of alluring. So we might have a number of folks who are new to the area who didn't get to grow up with either the pleasure or maybe the curse of hurricane season.
Sure.
And knowing kind of what goes into that. But one of the things over the last 3 years, especially since Florence, is I've noticed with folks coming in some common questions and concerns that I thought maybe I could address, prospectively this morning that might help folks out before we really get something cranking up this year if we end up having one.
Yeah.
So I think that the first thing that folks should do ahead of a hurricane is they need to confirm the kind of insurance coverage that they have. A lot of folks think that, well, I have a homeowner's policy, so that should be good enough. But for those of us who were here in 2018 who maybe just had a homeowner's policy, we learned that, hey, those policies don't go as far as we might think. So you've got a general homeowner's policy, which oftentimes is going to protect you against fire, against maybe some liability that might happen to you if someone comes to your house and gets hurt. But in North Carolina, we also have what's called wind and hail coverage, and then we also have flood insurance.
Right.
Wind and hail coverage for homes that maybe not be on the more expensive side, because in our area we have homes that have been here since the 1980s that are kind of just your standard salt box style houses. And then we've got also some very luxurious multi-million dollar homes. A lot of the homes that are kind of on the more, standard year-round homes, they're going to end up getting wind insurance through what's called the North Carolina Joint Underwriters Association. Mm-hmm. You'll see it referred to as NCJUA. Or NCIUA, which is oftentimes going to be administered through what we would call a third-party administrator, whether it be Farm Bureau, State Farm, Liberty Mutual, any of those big carriers. And so you want to confirm with your agent. These are all questions that I think are probably best first addressed to your agent to make sure that you have the proper coverage. But even within those types of hurricane policies, the wind and hail policies, you can have maybe more restrictive policies and more policies that cover more. So, for instance, we have what's called an HO3 policy, which is issued through the NCJUA, which covers more or less anything that could happen to your home during a hurricane. It'll cover wind-driven rain. It'll cover storm-created openings and all of that. But then we also have policies like an HO6, which, while it's still wind and hail, it might not cover wind-driven rain. And a lot of folks didn't find that out until that happened, because a lot of folks will choose maybe the HO6 because, hey, the premiums might be a little bit lower each year. Because guess what? Living around here, it's beautiful. It's a great place to live, but insurance prices go up, and it gets kind of expensive.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of folks trying to budget out for the year and say, hey, well, I can still get a wind and hail policy but save a little bit of money here, let me go with this one. But then when Hurricane Florence came and maybe you had a lot of wind-driven rain, which is what we had for 3 days, and not maybe a storm-created opening, that created some coverage issues that we've seen.
It's funny you say that because all of us here lived through Florence. I've been here for 20 years, so a number of named storms. But the phrase wind-driven rain really was driven home during Florence because houses flooded. And so the adjusters would say, well, that was not from below the flood waters. That was from wind-driven rain. And if you didn't have that policy, you were out of luck.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of folks, too, you're not in a floodplain, so you're not going to have flood insurance,
sure,
too. So that kind of leads in, though, to, I think, the next big thing to consider, and that is a lot of folks, even if you have the right coverage, the right kind of coverage, a lot of folks I found don't really know what we would call their policy limits or their coverage amounts are. So I have folks come in regularly, and when I sit down with anyone, I always ask them, okay, well, what kind of policy do you have, you know, in the event that they didn't bring their policy, if they remember it. Mm-hmm. Typically, you always want to have the policy to look at. But what kind of coverage did you have? Because with a lot of folks, they might have opened their policies up years ago, and then each year the policy might increase the overall coverage by a few hundred dollars, maybe a couple thousand dollars or whatever. But for some folks, we might have coverage, but then at the same time, the property itself might be underinsured.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that relevant? It's most relevant now, probably more so than it's ever been, because in the last year, I don't know if anyone's gone to Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever, but the cost of a 2x4, mm-hmm. the cost of a sheet of plywood has skyrocketed dramatically. And so, for instance, in dealing with a lot of insurance issues, we've seen for what's called maybe COVID price increases,
yep.
of sometimes, you know, 30, 40, 50%. And so with this incoming hurricane season, it's really, really, really important to go ahead, make sure early on before you have a loss, that when you have the loss, if that happens, your coverage amounts are sufficient to build your home back to the way that it needs to be.
Yeah, so you can, like you said, you mentioned some of the different dwellings, the salt box that may have an appraised value of $150,000, but if it gets damaged in a storm, what's the replacement cost,
mm-hmm.
to that dwelling? As you mentioned, Sam, and accurately so, the cost of lumber has gone up nearly 50%, you know, over the past year or so. It's come down a little bit, but not only lumber, but all other components that make up, you know, the home, inside the home, those costs have gone up. So you have to look at the replacement cost, not just this is what the house was worth, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
What would it cost today if I had to rebuild it, if I was even allowed to rebuild it?
Right, yeah, because there can be a host of issues that pop up with having to rebuild a property from scratch that's been destroyed with code changes and whatnot. But the big thing with that is, I mean, COVID, you know, we sometimes think that COVID's really just, you know, it's a medical issue that we're looking at right now. But in reality, we've seen that it's got, you know, tentacles that reach out to all different phases of the economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And home building is one of them. Insurance is one of them. And we've never really had a situation that I know of in modern history where we've seen something so dramatically increase the price of everything, including materials, and in some instances, labor, because labor right now is a little more difficult to maybe find for a lot of our contractors and whatnot, that the costs are going up. And I don't know, I'm not sure what the insurance business itself is doing to accommodate for that. But the point is that I think homeowners should maybe be a little proactive, talk to their agent, make sure that their home is properly valued for their policy, so that this isn't an issue this doesn't become an issue that we're trying to fix on the back end. This
yeah.
is an issue we can plan for on the front.
And really, too, we're in the midst of hurricane season. We've already the next one up will be the F storm. We don't do too well with Fs around here. Fran and Florence are two examples of damaging storms
right.
here in eastern North Carolina. But you know, homeowner, and again, newcomers down here, once the storm is named, things happen as far as insurance coverage goes. In other words, you just can't go out and buy flood insurance if there's a Cat 4 sitting off our shores and expect it to make landfall in 2 or 3 days.
Right.
It's
yeah.
too late.
Right. Trust me, if I could, I would.
Yeah.
No, don't pay for a premium the whole year. And then if it pops up, that's the best kind of insurance, you know, is if you
yeah.
know you need it.
Yeah. But you need to get your ducks in a row really before the season starts. But it's never too late. And right now we're kind of I hate to even say this, but we're in a lull right now as far as this season goes. There's nothing on the screen.
Right.
So you have certain time frames, do you not, as far as, you know, when, if you were to purchase flood insurance or wind and hail, that it has a certain effective date. It's
right.
not just immediate.
Right. Well, one of the things to talk about with your agent, because oftentimes what we'll see in insurance policies is it's common to see a six-month provision in there that the named storm can't arise within the next 6 months or something like that. One of the things that you can talk about with your agent is if you have a policy, though, you might be able to increase the amount of coverage without having to do a new policy. So you might be able to avoid it that way. Those are all questions that homeowners need to be upfront discussing with their agents, with their carrier, to make sure that this is something that's handled, like I said, beforehand, because we don't want to come back on the back end and say, have to file, if we can avoid it, I mean, if we have to, we would, but have to file maybe a lawsuit to fix an insurance problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always better to address it on the front end. It's cheaper for the homeowner. It's better for every, it'll get the thing resolved quicker. Sometimes we have to file a lawsuit, but hopefully homeowners can do what they can up front to avoid that from having to happen.
And for folks that have mortgages, obviously you have to carry the proper insurance. But as you age and you maybe pay off your home, you find yourself in a situation, well, you know what, the home's paid for. It's up to me whether I want to self-insure or continue with my insurance coverage, like flood, like wind and hail, like just regular on the structure.
Right.
What would your advice be to that homeowner that is finding themselves mortgage-free? Should they continue with their insurance coverage?
Well, I would tell them, first of all, congratulations on being mortgage-free. Second of all, for a lot of folks around here, your home is your biggest investment. So when you're looking at a cost of, you know, approximately, you know, let's say $200,000, you know, three, whatever the price might be to recover or to rebuild your home, along with the unknown variables of what the cost to replace will actually be, I think that it's best to still maintain your insurance coverage on your dwelling. I mean, you don't want to see 30 years of work get torn down by a storm, referring to like a typical mortgage, 30 years of paying it off.
Mm-hmm.
To see that all go up in the wind during a hurricane, and then you have to come out of pocket, either if it's through your retirement account or whatever, for funds that could have been avoided if you had just maintained the insurance coverage.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I want to put that question out there because it's tempting for some to say, well, I can, you know, just cut a household expense here in insurance for the few thousand dollars you're paying each year. Why not let the carriers carry the risk and you still have, like you said, your 20, 30 year investment, you know, safe,
right?
Safe and tucked away. Let's take a break here at this point of Let's Talk Legal. We're talking with Samuel Morris from Harvell and Collins. If you want to learn more about your coverage, you want to talk to Sam, call him at 252-726-9050. You can go online to harvellandcollins.com as well. We'll be right back after this quick timeout. Back to Let's Talk Legal with Samuel Morris. We're talking about hurricanes, and there's things you can do now to alleviate some of the headaches that if, and hopefully we don't get one, but should we get a storm that does some damage to your property, there's things you can do now. And let's talk about some of those things that are very simple. If you have a smartphone and you're off to the races, you can take some videos or pictures of your property.
Right.
Why is that important?
Well, it's important because, number one, I call it prepping for a storm. The reason for that is because when we find out that a hurricane's coming inevitably, we have to end up kind of going into the mode of preserving the stuff that we have outside. We have to get everything ready for the storm. And sometimes folks don't think to take pictures and whatnot. Start now. Go ahead and start cataloging the valuable items that you have in your home with your smartphone, with your tablets and whatever. Make sure that you take those with you if you evacuate, so that way if you're not backed up on the cloud, you'll have evidence of all those things. One of the things too to keep in mind with us is that, you know, with Hurricane Florence and then Dorian, you know, in the last 3 years, a lot of us had damage that needed to get repaired. Some of us are just now getting to the repair stage with that because of just the delays with the insurance
backlog.
Claims and
sure.
all of that. One of the important things, though, to do is to also preserve any documents that you have regarding the repairs that you made. So, for instance, contractors' invoices, checks that you paid to have the stuff done. If you did the work yourself, go ahead and document and take pictures of all the repairs that have been done. Save those as well. Because one of the things that you don't want to have happen is for, let's say, you just finish up your repair work, and now a new hurricane comes and messes all that up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you don't want to have happen is to file a claim and then the insurance carrier come out and investigate and it's the same property that was damaged, but you don't have evidence that you had repaired it. Because that's something that, I mean, insurance carriers, you know, sometimes they get a bad rep, you know, for trying to deny claims. But, I mean, kind of common sense would tell you that if a carrier is just paid out on a claim to repair all of this stuff and then they come back out and it's the same property that's damaged, well, was it repaired or not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this is, you know, making a payment on the claim makes, you know, takes stuff out of the pool of money. So they want to make sure that the claim is genuine. So make everything easy on them that you can. Go ahead, document all that stuff now, because when it when we find out that the hurricane's happening, the last thing you're going to be thinking about doing is really wanting to go out and save all your invoices, get all that stuff together, because what you're going to be concerned about is, okay, where are we going to go to evacuate? Let's get the hotel reserved. Let's get all this stuff out of the yard. It's kind of a, you know, race that week.
Yeah, yeah. Those of us who have lived here, Sam, know that drill. But you're right. It's important. You're not thinking about taking pictures of the roof or the chimney or the gutters or whatever was damaged in a storm 3 years ago. And you still, in some dwellings, you still see blue tarps on roofs.
That's right.
A remembrance of Florence in September of 2018.
So that's right.
It's not that long ago.
No, and I would also suggest, folks, you know, there was a time before smartphones. I can even remember that. But for a lot of us, we have photos and stuff like that that were taken before the days of the iPhone that are still kept in these old books called photo albums, know. So when you go to evacuate, remember that certain things, even though they might mean a whole lot to you, it might be difficult to put a price on them for an insurance carrier. So the things that you really don't want to lose, like pictures of, you know, great grandma Gladys or whatever it might be, make sure there's room in your suitcase to take those, because that might be something that gets destroyed and you won't be able to replace it. Or for those who might be a little tech savvy, go ahead and find a way to convert those to an image that maybe can be saved to a cloud type server or to your phone or whatever it is that you use. That way, if they do get damaged, you can replace them.
Yeah. And get safely out of harm's way. We were talking about Florence just 2 days prior to it making landfall. It was a Cat 4, and it would have just devastated this area had it reached the shores at that ferocity.
Oh, absolutely,
Cat 4. But it had other punishing effects. But just here for 3 or 4 days, just not going away. You never know what these things can do. We're nearly 3 years past Florence, and that's another important timeline to look at as far as insurance claims go.
Right.
If you could touch briefly on that.
Right. So in North Carolina, for the vast majority of insurance claims, there is what's called a 3-year statute of limitations. What a statute of limitations is, it's a time frame that is set up by statute that basically says that if you're going to bring suit, you have to bring suit within 3 years. And so if, for instance, you bring the claim on 3 years and 1 day, the court will dismiss it, because of the fact that it's a hard cutoff date. Mm-hmm. If you've not sued by that time, you can't bring suit afterwards. If it's a defense that gets raised, it'll be a successful defense, assuming it's true. And we're coming up on that with Florence, at least, in September. So for folks with insurance claims and whatnot, right now, if you are in the process of that, I would strongly suggest you confirm with whomever is representing you regarding the insurance claim that in the event that suit needs to be filed, that it will be filed in time. For those folks who have questions about that, you know, obviously call us at Harville & Collins. We're happy to speak with you about it. But it really is, it's kind of the last minute rush for Florence type issues. And one of the reasons I say the last minute rush is I'm kind of what's called a belt and suspenders kind of guy. I like to be safe yeah. with things. I don't like to risk things. And so for folks who have outstanding claims, you don't want to be litigating a statute of limitation issue. You want to make sure your case is filed, you know, well before then if you can, to lessen the chances that it would get booted on that defense.
Could someone file for a Florence case, could someone file today and be within that statute of limitations? So once they file before the 3-year window closes.
Right. Yeah, you typically are going to date it from the date of the loss. So that's somewhere in September 13th, 14th, right. However you want to I say it. So as long as you filed your lawsuit before then, you should be fine, at least with respect to the 3-year statute of limitations for insurance claims.
Okay. You just got to get in queue before the window closes sometime in mid-September for Florence 3 years ago.
That's right.
Let's take our final break here. We're talking with Samuel Morris from Harvell & Collins. If you'd like to reach Sam, you can call him at Harvell & Collins. You can do that by calling 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Sam Morris from Harvell & Collins. We're talking about the nasty H word, hurricanes. We're living in Eastern North Carolina, and we are here because we love it. But with that comes the risk of these seasonal disruptions, and they can be very disruptive.
They can be. And one last thing I would ask for the audience to consider doing is making sure if you have any specific valuables that are very valuable, for instance, Grandpa left you the Picasso painting, or you might have a very expensive instrument, or you might have something that just would be outside of the realm of what normal people would own, make sure that that kind of item is covered under your insurance. The reason for that is sometimes insurance carriers are going to require you to disclose those types of things to them. So if you're counting on your Wind and Hail policy covering that, make sure it's covered before there's a problem with it later on.
Yeah, I think the time to tell your insurance agent, you know, this wind-driven rain came pouring in and my Rembrandt was destroyed.
Yeah.
Really, you had a Rembrandt.
Rembrandt, yeah.
It was priceless, but, you know, we priced it at a certain amount. Or I had a Ty Cobb baseball card that got drowned in the storm.
That's right.
Now it's the time to
make sure that's covered.
To cover that, yeah. Do you think we actually have about 2 minutes here, Sam.
Okay.
Do you think as a people we're underinsured or overinsured as it relates to our homes?
Well, you know, with us, it's hard to say because around here, a lot of value in the property is the property, the land, not necessarily the structures. For a lot of folks, I've noticed agents do a good job of valuing the cost to reconstruct a home if necessary. But for a lot of folks, they don't, at least right now, it's a big guess because right now with COVID prices, the policies that were written a couple years ago before COVID happened, I don't know that there's been enough automatic kick up in the value of the policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be that we're underinsured right now.
Yeah. You know, I would say too, and we were kind of directing this conversation this morning towards the newcomers here who haven't really gone through a full cycle of hurricanes and damaging storms. And we get hurricanes and we got some leaves or limbs that come out of the trees. We're talking about the ones that inflict a lot of damage, that shut down a community. But I think some of the takeaways I got from listening to you is that if you have a policy that you created, or you're in a dwelling for the past 20 years, such as myself, the value of that property, the home, probably has appreciated more than when you first signed on with the insurance company. You just got to make sure that you are properly insured for the recovery cost of that dwelling. And I think that's probably one of the things we probably fall down on mostly is, you know, I did the policy 10 years ago or 15 years ago when the property was at such a value, but we've seen prices of homes, even like because of COVID, rise over the last year or so. The inventory of homes for sale has shrunk. Thus, the value of the homes have risen.
That's right. And carriers and agents do a good job of trying to maybe account for that each year when the policy is renewed. But, you know, you never know. You want to make sure that you're informed about what the home's value is and to make sure that your own policy is written properly.
Yeah. And from time to time, the counties, I know Onslow County does a reval next year. I just got my love note from the tax office yesterday. But next year, it'll be a different story. So we'll see a different price value for our properties come the revaluation. Sam, this is a great topic, very topical and very informative. We appreciate it. If you want to reach Sam at the firm, call Harvell & Collins today. It's 252-726-9050. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.